What would you answer to me? And I think I know I would get different answers back, maybe, but I think we would find some common ground. I think I would hear an answer of, well, we need to be kind to each other. We need to give money to good causes. We need to be in church often. That's good, right? We need to go to church often. We need to tell everybody about Jesus. Amen. We need to live a moral and pure life. I think we could all agree to that. Amen.
Amen.
You know, all these principles and actions should be found in a Christian or a believer or a Christian. That's what I like to say. But Jesus said himself on what our responsibility is to be called a Christian or a Christ follower, in Jesus' words, in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said, "What is written in the law?" He replied, "Well, how do I read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." You know, to have eternity with Christ, we have to be a Christ follower. Makes sense, right? A believer of what Christ did for us. That's what a Christian is. Do you believe this morning what Christ did? You know, the responsibility in Jesus' own words, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." You know, for some, that's, we get that, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. We get that. That's the easy one. But loving God with every part of us, that seems to be a little harder. And then loving people around us as much as we love ourselves and do for ourselves. Now that's even going to the extreme, isn't it? Man, I'm telling you, I mention this a lot. I talk about this a lot. But it's hard to love some people. It really is. Sometimes we have a problem with people. Be a pastor for a while. I mean, you know, we deal with people. I deal with people all the time. I talk with people all the time about problems and things going on in their life. And you know, you start to hear stories about how somebody did this to somebody else and all that. And it's easy to fall into that, man, I don't like that guy. You know, that guy's a horrible person. But Jesus says, love that person, your neighbor, as yourself. You know, Jesus' identification of a believer explained to the skeptical lawyer here, whom he didn't ask about loving God. He didn't ask about being, but he challenges him about, who is my neighbor? He goes on. Who do I have to love as much as myself? He was asking, who's this neighbor that you're talking about? Who is my neighbor? Am I supposed to just love, you know, are there just some people we love more than others, or do we just pick and choose who we want to love? That's what I'm trying to say. And then he says, you got to love them more than yourself. Well, there's some people that love themselves quite a lot. And I envy them, you know, because, you know, I don't know. I hope that I don't love myself more than I do others. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and he saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds and pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to a man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." You know, this unnamed man is traveling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, which is really a narrow road, and it was known for robbers being there. And he is attacked and robbed, and he's beaten and left for dead. And there's three here recorded. People approached this beaten man. First, we find the priest. You know, this holy man, he moved to the other side of the road. And then we find this Levite, which he was a temple worker. He went to the other side of the road as well. And then we find this Samaritan, and he went to him and bandaged him and carried him on his donkey and gave him money to the innkeeper and promised more when he returned if the man needed it. And which of these were neighbors, compassionate and kind and sensitive to people's needs? That's all of us here this morning, isn't it? Even the expert had to admit it was the one who had mercy and showed love and compassion to them. You know, Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." You know, it's easier to love and care for those that look like and act like you or your friends or is... But it's not really normal to expand that love and mercy to people we only have an acquaintance with. Even family and friends can have trouble loving others like they love themselves, because there are some people who love themselves too much and others not so much. You know, you have to be intentional on treating others right. It takes an effort. You have to be prayed up and ready to intervene for others, even if it means that it inconveniences you in your day. The Samaritan didn't leave his house thinking that this is going to be the day I'm finding somebody in a ditch. Many of us leave our mornings out and we don't expect anything like this to happen. But you know what? He was willing to take the risk, wasn't he? You know, the priest here, in his religion, he wasn't able to touch the man if the man was dead. He would have defiled himself if he would have touched this dead man, and he would not have been clean to enter the temple or the church. He was more unclean in God's eyes by not helping than the man that maybe touching a man would have made him unclean. Does that make sense? The Levite worker, he was a worker of the temple, didn't want to get involved, so that's like many today have decided ahead of time not to get involved, and we see people in need all the time and people just walking and driving right by them. Man, you can just drive in this town here alone and you can see people in need. We see more and more all the time. And it's easy to just drive on by, because we've got too many other things to do. We're too busy. You know, we have to ask ourselves, what does Jesus tell us to do? And what would you want someone to do if you were that person in that situation? What if you ran out of gas and you didn't have any money, or maybe you didn't have, your wallet got lost and you were sitting at a gas station and you needed money? And how many times have I been approached by somebody at a gas station in my travels and they just needed a little bit of gas money? I know that happens a lot. And I want, you know, the first thing we think about is, well, they just want money. They're just begging for money, and that is true for some. But what if it was you that was really sincere and truthful, and you really needed that, and you were just looking for somebody to help you? The Samaritan here, the man, he went to him and then saw that it was a Jewish man. And the Samaritans, you know, they were hated by the Jews for being really a half-breed, marrying outside and being impure, an impure Jew. He didn't care that it was a Jewish man. He saw a man in need and he decided to do what he was able to do. The Samaritans, you know, were a half-Jew, and this happened, you know, during like 721 B.C. where the Assyrians had them in captivity for so many years. And you find that in 2 Kings in chapter 17 and also in Chronicles. And it mentions it in Ezra and Nehemiah. And so they decided to stay and they intermarried. That's where the Samaritans actually came from. You know, sometimes we think that rude people shouldn't bother us. Racist people should bother us, but rude people should bother us, right? Racist people should bother us. Becoming blind to people's needs and too busy to get involved should really bother us. Compassion does something. True compassion should never be idle. To pretend that something didn't happen, to walk away when someone is in need, is wrong. You know, this priest and Levi, who are religious people, walked away and even went as far as to walk on the other side of the road and choose to do nothing. Would that be you today? Can I ask you that? Would that be you today? I think there's times in our life we're all that. There's been times in my life when I've walked on the other side of the road. There's been times where I haven't walked on the other side of the road, and God has blessed me greatly for it. Maybe nobody else knew about it. And I know I've shared this story many times before when I was selling buildings for TrueBuilt. My territory was all Missouri. I didn't have any sales territory in Illinois, but one of the salesmen was sick and they needed somebody to go up north one evening to meet a guy at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I was like, they asked me if I'd go do it. And so I drove all the way up north of Fairview Heights, some little town up there north of Fairview Heights, and met this guy, you know. And on my way home, you know, as it is, after you've had a couple sweet teas, you know, you have to stop somewhere. And I kept thinking, I'll stop at the next one. And so I finally get to Mount Vernon. And so I pull over to Mount Vernon, and I was going to go to the gas station. Well, I thought, no, I'll go into McDonald's, you know. And I went into McDonald's. There was a guy sitting there on the sidewalk. And, you know, it's pretty serious, you know. I need to, you know, go. And just being honest, I mean, this was, you know, serious. So I get out, you know, the car, and I'm going in the door, and there's this guy sitting right here, you know. And I'm like, my mind's not focused on anything else but what I got ahead of me. And so the Holy Spirit just like, you need to stop and talk to this guy. And I'm like, no, I got to go. I will when I get back. You know, it's like, no. And I honestly, it was such a strong feeling in my heart. I stopped and I went and talked to this guy, shared with him about, you know, I talked to him about what was going on in his life. And he told me he was out of work. And he told me this big story. And I've heard 100 times. I've heard these stories. And so I thought, well, I'll go in, get him some food, you know. And so I did, come back out with some sandwiches. And so got to pray with him. You know, he said, if I could just find a job, is what he told me. If I could just find a job. I've been looking for a job, and nobody will hire me. I need a job. I go to my car, and I'm getting back in my car. And this guy rolls his window down, tears in his eyes. He's like, hey. He said, I saw what you did for that guy. He said, what's going on? And I explained to him. I said, the guy's out of work. He's here, and he needs a job and all that. And the guy opened up his door, and he has this brace on him. And he said, I got hurt and broke my back. And he said, I can't work right now. And he said, I need help on my farm. And he said, you think he could help me? And he said, I've even got a place for him to live in my barn. He said, I've got a little apartment in my barn. And he said, you think he'd help me? And I got to talk with him, and I prayed with this guy. He said, you know, I haven't been in church in a long time. And I talked to him about church right there. And I think at a place I was never supposed to be, because it's not my territory, that God put me in that moment to listen to what he asked me to do, to someone that I've heard stories, that same person I've heard a story after story after story. But God, for whatever reason, just wanted me to be faithful and listen so that guy could get a job from some other guy that hadn't been to church in a long time, that he broke his back. He needed somebody to talk to that had compassion for what I did, and for that guy to give him a job. And I don't know what happened after that, but I got to introduce those two people. Things like that happen sometimes. I tell that not to pat myself on the back, because I can tell you so many other stories that I've just felt like I just wasted my money. It happens time after time. You hear story after story. But I never want to be that guy that walks on the other side of the road ever again. How many of us pray that God will use us in a way? You know, it has nothing to do with age. Sometimes I heard so many stories this weekend about people said, well, you know, our church is just full of old people. I thought that was a little disrespectful, but it's what they said. And we can't do things like some of the younger churches can. And then pretty soon I'd hear some lady that was in their 80s stand up and say, well, here's what we do. Here's what I do. And it would just change the whole moment. I'm way off track here this morning. I don't know where I'm at. You know, Steve Green made a comment that really impacted me this weekend. He was our keynote speaker. He's a pastor that just retired from Indiana. Seymour, Indiana is where he's at. And he said, you know, sometimes we walk around with the faith kicked out of us. Many of us have had our faith level up here at times in our life, but because of life, we get beat up, and because of things, our faith level continues to get knocked down and knocked down and knocked down until it's a number two, maybe. And then we just exist in that number two. Have you had the faith kicked out of you today? I think it's sad to say that I see it so much that so many walk on the other side of the road. And they walk by people every day that just need to hear a kind word or from somebody who loves Jesus. They just need to hear it. They need to see it. They need to experience it. You know, this church has been a revolving door for many, many years. We've seen families come and go for many, many, many years. It's just a cycle. So many people's come through the doors of this church. It's not been bad. It's just the way it is. I want you to know that this church has helped a lot of people throughout the years get closer to Christ because of the willingness to just love people and have compassion on them. I never want us to stop being that. I never want us to stop picking people up out of the ditch and helping them get back on their feet. And yes, sometimes it means leaving them at the end and sending them on their way. I never want us to stop being those people. Sometimes it's asking the homeless man his name and then making him feel like a human being again. You know, Lee and I was involved in a ministry where we, and Jim and Tanya as well, where we dealt with a lot of homeless people throughout the years, and I've got story after story after story. It's not easy. But sometimes I find there was some really, really good people that just really needed somebody to love them. And not everybody has that in their life, somebody just to love them for who they are, where they're at, without judging them, because that's all they've ever had. We have to stop being comfortable with the comfortable things in life. And sometimes being a Christian is not comfortable. Sometimes being a Christian is messy. Sometimes it means we got to hear stuff that we don't want to hear. Sometimes we got to get involved in things that we really don't want to get involved in. But it's because God needs us to be there. And that person needs you to be there for them. I spoke yesterday about the 2 a.m. friend. Do you have a 2 a.m. friend? Somebody that you know that no matter what time it is, no matter what time of day it is, a night it is, that you can call them and you know they'll be there for you. And what I've found is not everybody has that 2 a.m. friend. And they wish they had that 2 a.m. friend. And I hope that I'm that 2 a.m. friend to somebody and to many. Does it mean that it's easy? Sometimes you got to listen to long, heartbreaking stories. I'm making it sound all great, ain't ya? You guys are encouraged today. I just want us to get out of our comfort zone and start being Jesus. You know, Jesus came not to... He said... He didn't come here to make us more like God. He came here to show us how we can live humanity out. Amen. He came in the flesh to show us how we could live as humans and to be good humans. Amen? It's really... He came here to show us that we can do it. And He said, just go and do what I've taught you to do. And go and teach them, everybody, to do what I taught you to do. And what I showed you. How to love each other and how to have compassion on each other and not judge each other. That's why I came. You know, sometimes we get stuck in religion, you know. And we get stuck on the vertical things and praising God, and but we forget about the horizontal things, which is going out into the world and you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul is a vertical thought, but loving your neighbor as yourself is a horizontal thought. Some of you have probably heard this before, but when you think about the vertical and the horizontal, it has to go together, but it's a cross. The vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with others. It's why Christ died. We have to be intentional about our relationships, and we have to meet the needs of the people, even when it's somebody we don't like or care for or that's different from us, that may be laying in a ditch somewhere. You know, each and every one of us is called to get our hands dirty at times. It's not for just some of us. It's for all of us. It's not just for pastors and youth pastors and lay leaders. It's for each one of us that are believers in Jesus. God has called each and every one of us to surrender ourselves to Him and live our lives as His servants. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. He works through each one of us. I think being comfortable is overrated. I do. So I challenge you to get out of your comfort zone and serve Christ more and more today. Here in a moment, the ladies are going to come and we're going to take communion today. Do you love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul? Are we doing that as a church? Are we loving God in everything that we do? Are we sensitive to others and include others in our busy lives? Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for what You did for all of us. I thank You for your death and resurrection, Your sacrifice that You made so that we could all find salvation through You. Lord, let Your words not fall on deaf ears today. Let Your Holy Spirit abound in this place. Lord, let us leave here with joy in our hearts, knowing what You did, that we're free. You took all of our sins and just wiped the slate clean. And now we can stand boldly with confidence in front of the God, of God. Lord, I praise you again. I thank you for what you're going to do through this great group of people. Lord, as we surrender ourselves to you, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.